Welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast, here to help inspire and plan your family's next big adventure. Kiki's Big Adventures all started with the award-winning picture book series about Kiki, the globe-trotting calico kitty exploring the world's diverse people, places, and cultures. I'm Shannon, the author and creator of Kiki's Big Adventures. Moms and families love the books and have been asking for help planning their own adventures. So here we are. Adventure awaits. On this episode, it's a national park road trip through Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and California with travel mom Larissa and her family. Welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast, Larissa.
Thank you for having me today.
So looking forward to talking to Larissa. She is going to share a little bit more about herself, but from the moment I discovered her Instagram and her website, I thought, boy, she's got some great stuff to share. So Larissa, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
So thank you for having me again. So my name is Larissa, and I have a website called Go Love Be, and it stands for Go Somewhere, Love Someone, and Be Something.
And oh, love that.
Yeah, because that's what I just love sharing with people, are ways to like find something they love and they're passionate about. And I started the website when I decided that I wanted to share more about some of the places that I've been, because so many people were already asking me about them. How do you travel with kids? What's the best tip when you go to Yosemite? You know, what should I do here? And so it's travel, but I also throw in, it's a lot of bucket list ideas, because I just believe that our life is meant to be lived with joy. And so giving ideas of ways to find joy, and also just little lifestyle tips and hacks for parenting and all that fun stuff. And so I have a 13-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son. Before I had kids, my husband and I used to, every year we do one big trip. We would travel to one place, normally out of the country. And so I didn't want that to stop once we had kids, but to make it easier with younger kids, we started to do a little more domestic travel and decided to explore and try to see as many national parks as we could. And so that was kind of where our adventure started with the kids. And it's been a journey for sure.
That is great. Well, when I got a glimpse of your summer adventure, I thought, oh, this is perfect. I got to have Larissa on the podcast as part of our road trip series.
Yes.
Because I think obviously this summer, this fall, and into next year and beyond, people are developing this great appreciation for our parks and just everything the U.S. has to offer. And so, Larissa, what was your big summer family adventure?
So we decided, we had in mind about doing a road trip, but we weren't exactly sure where we wanted to go. And then when COVID hit, we knew we weren't going to be able to fly anywhere. So we decided to do a little more of the west side of the country. And we had explored Utah a little bit and knew there was a lot we wanted to see in Utah because there's so many national parks that direction. And we also wanted to take a little side detour into Colorado because we both had some history there with our families and New Mexico. And so we kind of said, well, if we're going that direction, I would love to. I actually lived in Farmington, New Mexico, and my husband, as a kid, we found out the exact same year we lived like right next to each other. So something crazy with his grandparents for a summer. So we're like, well, we have to go visit these places and show our kids a little bit of our family history and where we lived at one point too. So that was kind of fun with the adventure part of it.
Oh, neat. Wow.
Yeah.
What a great combination of adventure and history and everything. What was your itinerary?
So we did a lot. It was a 10-day road trip. We did a lot. So we started in St. George, and we chose St. George because we wanted to go somewhere. It was July 4th. We wanted to go somewhere where they were going to have a good firework show. And St. George has some amazing air. You could probably spend a week just doing outdoor things in St. George, but in July, you probably wouldn't want to because it's super hot. So we did things in the morning and the evening. So that's a theme for this trip as well. So then we went from St. George up through Utah through Capitol Reef. So that's National Park that a lot of people don't know about, which is amazing. I'll share a little bit more about that. Then we went through and did Moab and Arches, and also Dead State Horse Park, which was one of my favorite stops along the way. Canyonlands as well. Canyonlands is right next to Arches and Moab. They're really close. So we did that as well. And then we came down through Colorado and we did the Black Gunnison National Park, which is this kind of obscure park in the middle of Colorado nowhere, but it's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Then we came down and we did Telluride, Colorado, a little mountain town. and then came down and did Durango and Silverton area, which is also an amazing place to visit. Well, all of them are. And then we came through Grand Junction, Colorado, Mesa Verde, passing through Farmington, New Mexico, Four Corners, and Petrified Forest National Park, and then came back to California through Flagstaff. So it was
10
definitely
days?
Yes, it was a lot. 3,000 miles. So yeah.
Wow. When Larissa and I were communicating about this, and I looked at her pictures, I thought to myself, I haven't even heard of a lot of these parks. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me what were highlights. Tell me things you want people to know.
Yeah.
So much stuff.
Yes. So knowing that we were going to be traveling during COVID, we wanted to be a little cautious with that. So we were going to rent an RV and do that. But we did decide we have a Jeep. And so we were able to decide that we wanted to just take the Jeep so we could go on some of the off-road trails and do some of the forest lands, which is one of the highlights of the trip. And just in all the areas, I mean, you think about Moab and Colorado, the San Juan Mountains, some beautiful trails. So when I realized that, I was like, okay, when I'm looking at hotels, I wanted to still try to be safe. So I made sure that I would call ahead and ask about their safety procedures. We only stayed in places that were like, you didn't have to use an elevator to get to, because I didn't want to be stuck on an elevator with people and touching buttons.
Yeah.
We stayed in suites where you had the extra kitchen so we could do our own food. And because travel was down, it wasn't a problem finding places to stay. And we were able to feel safe the whole time. We were able to prepare our own food most of the time. The plus with going to all these national parks during this time was they normally have a lot of international visitors. And since they didn't, honestly, like I would say probably out of like 10 of the hikes, like only one of them, we would see more than two people on it, which is crazy. And that was at Arches.
Oh my gosh.
So we literally felt like we had these amazing pieces of masterpiece of nature to ourselves. That was just probably my favorite part, is just having that, the seclusion in nature. So it was really neat to be able to have it. And how, I don't think that'll ever happen again. You know, it probably won't. I mean, that being said, it also, like I said, was in the middle of summer where a lot of these parks were over 100 during the day. But we got up in the morning, we would do our hiking, we did some biking, then during the day we would either travel or, you know, do some like things in town. But for the most part, because we were traveling so much, it worked out perfect. It worked out great to be able to do all that. So my favorite park probably was actually Canyonlands and the Dead State Horse Park. They're really close to each other. And neither of them had really seen many pictures of. I had heard of, but oh my goodness, it really, I mean, comparing to Grand Canyon, it's these unique, gorgeous formated canyons with views and spectacular, I'm using my hands. I know we're on a podcast, but
no, but still, yeah.
Spectacular.
It's the way we
sunsets.
Paint the picture.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that's what I would say. Like you had mentioned, there's places that you hadn't heard of, but to just see what's nearby or not even nearby, you know, a day's drive, these places are so worth it and just so incredible. And just, yeah, I can't, the pictures don't even do them justice. I just kept thinking of that while I was taking pictures. Like I can't do justice to these places with pictures. So you need to put them on your bucket list for sure. So my husband really likes mountain biking. And so we were able to do some of that Moab mountain biking and take the kids on some biking adventures, which may or may not have resulted in tears, but we were okay.
So that sounds like one of your husband's favorites.
Yes.
So what about the kids?
Yes.
I mean, a boy and a girl at those ages, what were some of their favorite things?
Yeah. So one of the things I like to do when we travel is I like to have them kind of focus on something that they're looking forward to. And for some reason, I don't know where this started, but they decided they wanted to collect rock animals. So they had these little rock animals, which in this area of the United States, they have a lot of them in even just gas stations. And so one of the things that they did is any place they went, they would ask people at the ranger station or at the gas stations where they could find the rock animals. Then they would collect these rock animals and take pictures of them in different places. It was really fun. But they really enjoyed the collecting of rock animals. So I definitely recommend if you're traveling with kids to think about something to collect, whether it's those smash pennies, if you're not doing national parks, those are the cheapest souvenirs, best ideas ever. Whether it's, if you're doing junior rangers, those are really fun. My kids do those as well, but that's just a highlight for the kids, especially if you're doing multiple places. When I asked them what their favorite thing was, it's kind of funny. I think it's because it's probably related to food, was exploring the towns. So besides the outdoor area, for example, in like Telluride, oh my gosh, that town is this cute historic town. It's just amazing. You know, same thing in Durango, just such a unique feel. So that was kind of their favorite, is exploring the towns, maybe because they were hiking in 100-degree heat. But
that's so cool. Well, I saw you also did a really cool like train ride. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What was that? That looked like the most exciting thing to me.
Uh-huh. So that was really neat. So that was the Durango Silverton train line. Normally it goes from Durango to Silverton, but they actually had a rock. I thought they had shortened the train run because of COVID. And then when I got there, I found out it was because it had a big rock slide. Well, and so prevented it from going all the way to Silverton. But my husband actually had done that as a kid. And so this was another kind of taking back those memories that he had as a child, wanting to share that with our kids. And so he had this little memorial coin that he had from the railroad that he had showed us. And he had talked about his memories. And so we were able to get on the train, even though it was half the distance. It was probably perfect for the kids' age. And it was just probably some of the most amazing views you have ever seen in your lifetime. So I would definitely recommend it. The Durango Silverton train, you know, it's the steam. You can do a steam or the diesel option. You want to do the steam option because you just get that, you know, the choo-choo and the steam puffing and it's just a little more authentic. And there's not many of those
like
in the US.
Open air, and, right? Mm-hmm. I saw the kids like, you know.
You can choose the inside or the outside. And because of COVID, we decided to do outside and it was very limited people. And it was just fresh air and amazing views and just a fun experience for kids. Or if you don't have kids, it's still a super fun experience too. And we did get another coin, a memorable coin for 2020 that we're keeping with the 80.
Oh,
so, you know, so
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
My goodness. Did your husband, did it seem similar? Yeah. Did he?
So he was not like, much had changed. This. I remember that. Yeah. Okay. When you're traveling, that's something else you want to look for. Unique experiences that you can't do in your area, that you can't do, you know, just finding those unique experiences make it just that much more special and memorable for sure.
Absolutely. Any other kind of different or cool things that you experienced?
Gosh, there were so many really neat little things. A lot of times when we travel, we like meeting people, but because of the situation, we really didn't.
Yeah,
there were some, you know, we did have some, you know, conversations with people. But for the most part, it was just having that open space and the alone. But that being said, we also had some experiences. Like, for example, we were planning on going to Four Corners, which we did make it to Four Corners, but because it was on Indian land, it was actually closed. And so I'm super planner, and I don't know how I missed that in the planning. But what that allowed us to do is we had extra time. So when we were heading home, we actually got to go through this place. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's really cool. It's called Barrizona. Which is right outside of Flagstaff, Arizona. And you literally it's a drive-through bear park. So you're driving through this park with animals of all different kinds, elk, bison, and bears. I mean, I thought, we're going to see like 3 or 4 bears. There were like 50 bears. It was insane. So I think that was, just having the experience of saying, you know what, this didn't work out, but we're going to use our time and do something else. And they probably, you know, that was probably cooler than, you know, sitting on a sign.
Right, exactly. We're in four states.
So just roll with it and like pull out your phone and Google what's around and like you'll find something fun. And one of the things that I love to do with kids is I love downloading the apps that do little guides. So when we were in the like Moab area and Black Canyon, you just Google, you know, apps for national parks or guides and find a neat one to download. And that really adds to the experience because you're learning about the history, you're learning about the area, you're learning about maybe the favorite viewpoints you want to see. And most places, whether it's a national park or whether it's a tourist area that is a little more well known, will have something like that or some sort of a walking tour. So I definitely recommend to look at those apps. I think it adds so much value to your trips for sure.
That's great.
Yeah.
And gives the kids, you know, mm-hmm. more entertainment and just engagement in the destinations.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like travel has always been important to you. You love mm-hmm. it and you're instilling that in your children. Why do you feel like it's so important to travel with kids?
I think just opening the door to new experiences and also helping them just appreciate nature and being outside, having the opportunity to see different things and to experience different things. And, you know, and also challenges, like I said, we're going on long hikes, we're doing bike rides that are challenging them. I think we need to make our kids more resilient, and that helps. And if they're struggling with things, you know, you make it fun. So we told the kids, I'll give them $1 for every new wildlife they see. And $2 if they saw a bear or a rattlesnake, right? So on one of the hikes that we were on in Colorado, my son comes running. I see him running off the path. And I was like, what's he doing? Mom, there's a rattlesnake running towards the rattlesnake, which I didn't want him to do. But he wanted his $2. So I was like, wait, stop, pause.
So, got it. You got the truth. Yes.
Isn't that funny?
Here's $2.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Seeing, you know, just seeing new things, you know, seeing wildlife is always – wildlife is always one of the coolest things for kids because it's something new, and they also gain that appreciation. You know, my daughter wants to be a vet, you know, and having that appreciation for animals, you know, maybe it did start when she started to admire wildlife when you were in Yellowstone or seeing different things. You never know what it's going to take them in life, and you want them to be able to continue to have new adventures and to see new things. So some of the reasons why I love traveling with kids, and it bonds your family together so much too, for sure.
So now, what's next? What's the next adventure you're dreaming about or planning?
So on the same national park route, I have two that I really want to do, and I'm not sure just because of flights if it will happen in the next year. One is the Great Smoky Mountains. I have not been there yet, and so I'm kind of looking at some of the flights. So that might be a fall trip. I mean, we're in fall, maybe Thanksgiving. We like to travel the week of Thanksgiving because both kids have that full week off. So that's one. And the other one possibly is going to the East Coast. My brother is temporarily living in DC area. We wanted to get there before he moved back, but because of the closure, same thing, I'm not sure if we'll be able to get back. But we are doing Mammoth in a few weeks for my husband's birthday, which is gorgeous in the fall. It's off season. So that's another great thing. Look for places that are off season and you can find really great deals for travel. You don't have crowds. There's just a different type of beauty. So the fall beauty in Mammoth, California, compared to, you know, people coming in the summer for the lakes or the winter for the skiing, it's just gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So that's a good thing to look for, off-season places that you might not think about but are still going to be amazing to visit, and a lot of outdoors right now.
Yeah, totally. Yes. That's the key. Well, Larissa, thank you so much. And let people know where they can find you if they want to read more about you and all of your adventures.
Yeah. So I haven't blogged yet about my road trip, but I have a lot of great pictures on my Instagram. If you go in my highlight bubbles, it's at Go Love Bee. So you can find me at Go Love Bee on the website, Go Love Bee on Instagram, Go Love Bee with Larissa on Facebook. And I do regular, the highlight bubble on Instagram. You have to go check out the pictures of some of those parks. Just amazing. And to add to your bucket list. I love hearing tips of where other people travel. So send me a message about a place that you think we would love to see as well. Or Kiki would love to see.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Larissa, for sharing your national park road trip adventures with us. There's an overview of the episode in the show notes. Head over to the podcast section of the Kiki's Big Adventures website for more specific details, places, and lots more travel planning tips. Thank you for joining us on the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast. Look forward to traveling together on the next episode. Adventure awaits!